Ecclesiastes 12. Now, last Sunday evening in our study together, we spent some pretty detailed investigating to see if we could determine without question who the author of this book was, and I believe that we biblically have determined without question that Solomon is the author of this book. There's all kinds of evidence here that he's the author. Now again, tell me a little bit about Solomon. If Solomon's the author, and I believe he is, tell me something about Solomon. Yes. All right. He, by many, is called the wisest man who ever lived. How did he become the wisest man who ever lived? Yes. That's right. God told him to ask for anything, and he asked for wisdom. Why was he asking for wisdom? Yeah, he was going to be a king, and he didn't know what to do. And so he asked God to give him wisdom. And God not only gave him wisdom, but with that also gave him money and fame. But he asked for wisdom. So he is the wisest man, apart from, of course, Jesus Christ, who ever lived on this earth. And notice starting in verse 9 of chapter 12. And moreover, because the preacher, who's the preacher? Solomon, was wise. All right, so he's acknowledging his wisdom. He still taught the people knowledge. So because he's wise, what does he do with it? Teaches others. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out. What does it mean to give good heed and seek out? Yes. He studied. He investigated. He looked to not only have this wisdom, but to increase this wisdom. He wanted to keep gaining knowledge, and he did that a lot by investigation, by seeking, by studying. And then what did he do with all of this teaching and this seeking and giving heed? That's understanding. He's got good heed. He understands. So what did he do then? He set in order many proverbs. I think that's important. You know, there are some who, when they approach this book of Ecclesiastes, they say, oh, this is just a collection of random thoughts. Is this a collection of random thoughts? I do not believe so. Because what is the wisest man on earth doing? Just giving you a whole bunch of random thoughts? No, I think there's order to what we find here. And it says here that Solomon set in order many proverbs. And so he is trying to teach us, and he is trying to give us truth that is orderly truth. This is not just a whole collection of random thoughts. I believe that we will find as we study that there is some wonderful order to this book. Now, as we study, and this past week I read through the book of Ecclesiastes two times in one setting each. So I read all 12 chapters in one setting, and then another time I read all 12 chapters in one setting. I would encourage you, while we're doing this, to attempt to do that maybe once a week if you can, to read the book of Ecclesiastes in one setting. You will begin to see how it does all come together. It is not random thoughts. It's thoughts that are centered around themes and so forth. I will give you more as to the order that I see here, but there are several key phrases in the book, and you know some of these key phrases, and we'll just look at this and then stop tonight. One key phrase is under the sun. If you've read the book at all, you're familiar with that phrase, under the sun. It's actually found 29 times in this book, under the sun. Let's just look at one of the examples of this 29. Go to chapter 8 and verse 17. Then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. Because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, farther, though a wise man think to know it, he shall not be able to find it. And so here is Solomon talking about what does the phrase under the sun mean? What is under the sun? Everything on this world is under the sun. It's a phrase that means everything that he could see or do. It's everything under the sun. And if it's not under the sun right now, it will be under the sun tomorrow morning, you know, or whenever. Aren't you glad that tomorrow morning the sun's going to rise again? And so he has that. Then he has a phrase that he uses 13 times when he says, I have seen. So it's another way of saying he's had some experience. He saw it. I have seen. Look at verse 9, same chapter, chapter 8, verse 9. All this have I seen and applied my heart unto every work that is done under the sun. There we have under the sun again. All this I have seen. He says at least 13 times in the book, I have seen, I have seen, I have seen. And then it's a little hard to figure out. I was trying to count, but I couldn't. The word I know, but then he uses know in several other phrases, so I didn't try to count them all. But the fact that he had some knowledge, he knew something. Look at chapter 3, verse 14. Chapter 3, verse 14. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, and God doeth it that men should fear before him. I know. Verse 12, above that, it says, I know there is no good to them. So I know is one of the key phrases here too. Under the sun, I have seen, I know. And then a key phrase that he uses 23 times in the book is this phrase, better is. So he's comparing things. And he'd be comparing two things and say, better is this than this. Better is this than this. And so that phrase we will see many times. Again, in chapter 4, verse 6, better is an handful with quietness than both hands full with travail. And verse 13, same chapter, better is a poor and a wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished. So he does a lot of comparing here. He uses the phrase, better is, 23 times. Now, we will see, and we just read it a moment ago in one of the verses that we looked at already, that there are some things that Solomon says he just can't know. Just can't know this. And there are some things that Solomon says I can't do. So what is Solomon admitting? He has limits. Even with his great knowledge, he has limits. You know, there are limits on all of us, aren't there? And we have to learn to live understanding our limitations. And then one last phrase. There's seven of these. Here's one that he uses 10 times. Chapter 4, verse 4 is one example of it. Again, I considered all travail and every right work, that for this a man is envied of his neighbor. This is also vanity and, what's the next phrase? Vexation of spirit. He uses that 10 times in the book. Vexation of spirit. What is vexation of spirit? Well, it's another way of saying I got frustrated. You know, in trying to find out all the meaning to life and trying to do so within his human limitations, what did that cause Solomon at times? Some frustration, some vexation of spirit. But as we look at these key phrases, and we're also going to look at some key words, but key phrases, looking at these key phrases will help us develop some key themes that will communicate what to us? A divine philosophy for living. A divine philosophy for living under the sun. And that's what this book is all about. Getting a divine philosophy for living under the sun. And a life that we can enjoy. Because did not God intend for us to enjoy life? He made all these things, Philippians tells us, richly for us to enjoy. And so I trust that that will be our experience as we go through many of the topics and themes of this book of Ecclesiastes, the preacher. Father, help us.